Welcome to the Murphy, Sam & Jody After the Show podcast, which is brought to you by Factor Pre-Prepared Meals. At the end of the podcast, Sam has a discount code for you.
Mm-hmm. I want Murphy to tell you the story of what happened yesterday. I'm proud of him. I was worried about him. Let Sam know.
Did he go skydiving?
That will never happen.
No, it was a piece of history from our family that is now in the hands of someone else. So, you know, I think we mentioned several podcasts back, maybe a year ago, that my dad had a Corvette that never ran.
Yeah.
Honestly, the last time I think I remember riding in it was on the way to kindergarten one year.
How cool.
In the 70s.
But you weren't buckled up either. This was a 66 Corvette.
Yeah, it did have seatbelts, though. Yeah, right.
In the front seat, not buckled up.
Rolling around.
Can I shift, Dad?
Well, you know what? It was a Corvette. You wanted to be seen in the front seat, even as a kindergartner. It was a 66 red Stingray.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
And he bought it used. He bought it in 1969. He paid $2,500 for it.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Different time, different place, different day, huh?
Yes.
Was it one of those ones that...
Yeah.
Oh.
And I haven't heard that sound in forever, and I think I have a recording of it somewhere because that's what I did when I was a kid. The last time it was cranked, we actually put it on our calendar. That's how iconic this thing was to me and my brother and sister, probably because it sat and didn't run for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so when he said he was going to crank it up and get it running again, we were excited about that. And so this was in literally August of 1982 was the last time it got cranked. And when he cranked it, the fuel started spewing everywhere. The carburetor was leaking. And at that moment, and I still don't know why, and of course he's passed on now, so we'll never know why he lost his interest in the vet. He loved that car. He took great care of it. But after that, it sat. Mm. It has never run since.
That is hard to understand since it was such a love of his.
Yep. And it took my brother and sister and I a couple of years to just kind of get through the things that we were emotionally attached to. So the car wound up at me and Jody's house and the carport there for 2 years, kind of doing the same thing it did at my dad's house for 40 years, right? Not running and not doing anything. And, you know, we had toyed with the back and forth part of, do we fix it up for ourselves? And in your head, romantically, you really do. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it costs money, and then the reality is it's an older vehicle. If that's not something you do and you're committed to, or you have the time to do it, you know, if I were a different spot in my life and we didn't have girls in college and all that kind of stuff, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's not, as much as I want that to be me, it's not me, you know?
I'm so glad to hear you say that because for 3 years I've watched you toy with, how can I let go of this? It meant so much to my father. Mm-hmm. And I really never said much about it, but when we were having the conversation the other day, it's kind of like, it's not your, if you really want it, then do it. But it's something that he had wanted. Mm-hmm. You have to live your own life.
Yeah.
Is, you know.
Well, and my sister and I were jokingly talking about this, is that he didn't do anything with it for however many years. So he died in 2021. So it was almost 40 years that he did nothing with it, you know. Yeah. So we finally offered it, you know, up for sale. And that was an interesting process too, because there are enthusiasts who are absolute, you know, fanatics about it, and different fanatics do different things. One of the gentlemen who was interested in it, super nice guy, had seen the car for 40 years. Actually, he would drive by and see it sticking out of my dad's carport. And so over the years he stayed in touch.
Yeah.
And
he had a love affair with that car from afar.
From afar.
Yeah.
And he's one of these enthusiasts that does the competition stuff, not racing, but competition.
Showing it.
Yeah. I always forget it. It's the National Corvette. I always forget the acronym for it.
Okay. But
so nationally they go and they tally for points, and the points are based on originality and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And because my dad rarely messed with anything of his, the Corvette had a lot of, you know, its original, you know, parts on it. And this guy spent about 4 hours, I guess, going through the car A to Z. And after all that time, the offer that he made, unfortunately, wasn't really with respect to what we know that the market, because I'd done my research on everything, the market value on it. And I'd explained to him up front that, and this is what I would advise anybody in a family setting like this, when you, whether it's a, a house or anything, anything that you have the emotional attachment to, let the emotional attachment run its course before you make any decisions, because you're either going to be prone to do one of two things: hold on to something that you shouldn't hold on to, or sell something for too little because you don't want it, or try to sell something for too much because you overvalue
right.
it. You got to take the emotion out before
you
get to a place where you, so that you can have a confident conversation. And these are all really nice people. So it was interesting to negotiate. I say people because the first gentleman who was interested in the car, his offer, because he's a competition guy, he would have to spend a lot of money that he would probably not recoup into it. Therefore, his offer was too low. And I'd explained from the beginning, look, we need to respectfully sell this at the, you know, at the market rate. So once the word got out that
the market rate people started calling.
I was curious. Did you advertise it anywhere?
No.
Word of mouth. Wow. Among these enthusiasts. And let me just say, the few that came to our house, knocked on the door to spend time with Murphy, looking at and talking about this car, I didn't even have to have a heads up. I knew the knock on the door, the ring of the doorbell, I open, and I can just tell.
Yeah.
It's about that car. Hi, I'm here to see the car. I'm like, wow, yes, you seem super excited.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah, I should have kept it in the garage and charged $5 a piece.
Yeah.
You should have consulted you first, yeah. Sam.
The thing about these, all these gentlemen that I wound up speaking with were great. The second person who was interested in the vehicle is actually, you know, the guy who helped us move it from my dad's house to mine. Yes, I could have borrowed a friend's truck and trailer and done that thing myself, but it's just not the kind of thing I trusted myself with for a car like that. And it was my dad's baby, so at that point, you know, it's like we're treating it the same way that he did when he was alive, for fear that, you know, he's going to come out of the grave and complain about the way we're treating the car. But anyway, but this guy actually, and it was our friend JJ, who we used to work with, who's also a, you know, Corvette enthusiast, who connected me with this, with the gentleman who came over to the house, and he was interested too. But the third person is the one who wound up buying the car. And the reason that I enjoyed this is because it really became a good social experience. Two total strangers who don't know each other other than talking to him on the phone. And, you know, obviously I had checked him out ahead of time and I'd have done all my homework on everything, so we were well prepared. You know, he was legitimate. He actually is he's a car wholesaler. And so, but what he does personally is he's got a couple of these collect. He's a classic cars guy. Mm-hmm. It's his passion. It's his love. And he grew up, in a very poor environment, meaning, you know, financially, they didn't have anything, and he built his own business. And it's not like he became incredibly wealthy, but he established his own business.
Definitely made himself.
He's worked through, you know, his retirement now and is enjoying what he wants to enjoy in a very simple way, I should say, too. And so when he came by he called me, and he actually didn't, he based this off of pictures and other people who were Corvette friends. He knew before he saw the car.
Sight unseen,
he made the offer and all that, and that was the first time that he saw the car was me the same day I'm giving him the keys. It's literally,
that's my favorite part of the story, is that the person who bought the car bought it sight unseen. Like Murphy's like, yeah, what was it, 2 nights ago? Yeah, the car sold. Who? This person. Oh, has this person seen it? No. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Sight unseen.
Been seeing pictures. And again, you know, the car enthusiast, regardless of what kind of vehicle it is, they all do talk. And they know. I mean, if it's and he actually knows the guy who inspected the car for the other gentleman who had come to the house, too. So anyway, they, again, close-knit, you know, group. So it was really nice to meet him. And it was I just asked a lot of questions because I wanted to know his story. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad had a story that, you know, wasn't anything other than he bought a car that he loved. He drove it to work for a while. He drove it for pleasure for a little while and then parked it for 40 years, but still loved it so much that he was never going to part with it. And you can see that the gentleman who bought the car, it's the same thing. He's excited. He can't wait to get it up and running. And he explained, you know, I might keep it. I might just make it road ready. I might, you know, he's got all these, you know, options, you know, ahead of him. There were a couple of strange things that happened, though, yesterday. One of them is the car is so old and the title is so old, that the title itself was in question as to whether it was a copy or the actual, you know, title or what have you. So he and I rode together, and I'm gonna tell you, that's trust too. When you've got, you know, two people who don't know each other, and he hops into my car, he's putting a lot of trust into me for, you know, where we're going. And so we went and got those matters cleared up. It's because the title was issued at a time before computers.
Yeah.
And when the state began to computerize all of its records, something happened in the transition from microfiche, the film stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. It didn't make it into the database, computer database, probably because my dad was not driving it anymore and because it didn't have a license plate at that time. And then to further complicate things, one thing that we didn't really know until I talked to my sister later, I guess he was going to try to get it back up and running at some point in the early 2000s, and he went back and applied for a plate.
Oh.
So the title that I had actually was not the most current title. The title had already been reissued. That's anyway, bottom line is, thanks to everything, we were able to get that. It was a very easy process to get that all corrected yesterday. And then he came back to the house, and the tires were flat, and we had to he had to bring an extra tire because, I mean, one of them, the same tires have been on the car that have been there since 1980, and it wouldn't roll at first, even though we rolled it into the carport easily. But we, so he had his trailer with the winch, and we pulled it up. You know, I helped him.
I wasn't home, Sam.
I know you expected there's it from me, but I let that one go.
I saw you. You didn't really let it go. You flinched. You flinched at the winch.
Yeah. And, you know, I was fully expecting. In fact, I got a really sweet text from Jody just saying, look, I know this is probably tough for you. Just remember it's the right decision.
Remember, it's a thing.
It's a thing. And, but I was really more at peace than I thought I was going to be, much like with the house. After you finally do get to the place where it's run its course and it's like, okay, this is the right thing to do. You know, I have an incredible brother and sister. And so, the three of us decided that together, all on the same page. And, you know, so I watched it get rolled up onto the trailer, found the little box that had the four wheel covers. And because my dad protected and preserved everything, it had pillows between it. And, you know, I gave him the whole box
treated
of those.
Gingerly.
Found a couple of extra sets of brakes and brake calipers and, you know, gave him all that. And the original keys to the car, which my brother was the one who found those. Those were lost for a year after my dad passed. We couldn't find them. And then the car pulled off. Here's what's weird. This is really, really, really weird. So the first thing I was going to do was, you know, talk to my brother and sister, but I realized the first thing I needed to do was go deposit the check.
Don't lose that.
Make sure all that was legit. And so I start to text my brother and sister, and I'm attaching a picture. I took a selfie with the gentleman. His name is Roland. And was about to send those, and the phone rings, and it's my brother-in-law and my sister, Jackie, Jason and Jackie, calling me, and they said, hey, did you see the picture we just texted you? No, I'm in the process of texting you both right now. And so my nephew, Jacob, was at a traffic light.
Of course.
And he saw the Corvette on the back of his trailer leaving. Now, he had no idea.
It was covered, right?
No, it was not covered.
He didn't cover it to move it.
No, he didn't cover it to move
showing
it.
Showing it off, huh?
Well, honestly, the reason he wouldn't do that is because covered, if he didn't have the right way to secure it, he was driving a long distance.
Sure.
The wind would have scratched the car.
Got it.
The cover would have, you know, flattened.
The cover was for when it was stored.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And as he knows, the only scratch on that car is when I told him that, yeah, my wife parked a little too close.
Okay, that's not true.
I'm just kidding.
It was covered while it was in the garage, me parking next to it. That was a real thing.
Yeah, you could have got another $30,000 for it, but not with that scratch.
That was a real thing, the nerves of parking next to that thing every day. For 2 years.
Oh, I know.
That was a real nervous thing.
Well, I'd hear my dad's voice constantly. I wouldn't put things on top of it for that reason.
No, I heard your voice. Yeah. Jody, what did you do? Yeah.
So my nephew sees the car.
Awesome.
And he texts that to my sister. And this is not an exaggeration. This is not an exaggeration. My sister, at that very moment, is listening to the radio when she gets it. And this song is playing. No, I am not kidding you. When she told me that, because they were about to text me, you know, because my sister knew it was being completed, she was thinking about that the transaction was being completed. It just made her think about that.
Yeah.
Seconds later, she gets the picture from my nephew of the vet sitting up on the trailer. And here's little red Corvette at the same time. I was like, okay, so this is definitely my dad here orchestrating this whole thing, you know, the timing of all of that for my nephew to coincidentally, I don't even know, for my nephew to actually be right there at that intersection at that time, and for my sister to be listening to the radio and hearing that at that time, everything just kind of came together. So, so to me, that was the crazy, you know, emotional part was like, okay, this is, no one can disprove it. So I'll just choose to believe that somehow my dad, my late dad, must have had some hand in all of that coincidence going together. But I'm really, really happy for the guy, you know, who bought the car, because it's a love and it's a passion. And I'm wondering if some of that is a dying passion, depending on who you talk to. I don't know. There will always be motor enthusiasts. There will always be car enthusiasts. But there's something very special about those original roadsters of the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this gentleman is about to celebrate his 75th birthday, who bought the, you know, bought the car. And he's as passionate today. And by the way, he's also a prostate cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things. So he's really just, he's enjoying what he wants to enjoy. And his thrill is going to be to get it cranked. I just told him, I said, look, when you do that, if you don't mind, the first time you crank it, please run video on it. That's a sound that I haven't heard forever.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear it.
Now that you have this relationship with him, not that it's a relationship, but you connected with him and spent that time with him, I think he'll share it with you.
Yeah.
I know he will.
Yeah.
If not, we have his number.
Now, since he's 75, is he going to do it himself, or is he hiring folks that, like, contracting it out?
He's going to do parts of it himself.
Yeah.
He is really.
Since he's retired, I guess he's got all the time in the world.
Any of the, you know, the stuff that he wouldn't do would be the, if he's got to drop a gas tank out of it. And that's the whole thing. My dad took care of that stuff. It didn't have a drop of gas in it. That tank is clean, sitting for 40 years, no rust, clean. And so his first order of business is to put a battery in it, put oil in it, and see if it'll crank.
Oh, my gosh. When is he doing that?
Don't know yet. And he's probably got to get the carburetor working and all that, because the last time it cranked, gasoline sprayed everywhere, you know? And that was 40 years ago.
So crazy. What a big day for you.
Yeah. So I can't wait to... you know, to hear that. But, you know, there's just something really cool about seeing the joy in others. And that's the reason I felt really badly for the other two guys who were interested also, because I wanted to make everybody happy, really, because it's a personal passion for all of them. It's not just a car.
Well, there's only so many of those, too.
Yes.
That's another thing. They understand how special it was, their opportunity to see it and their opportunity to offer, you know, an amount for it.
Yeah.
There's only so many of them. Those will not be made again.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, I'm proud of you for, you know, feeling good about letting it go.
And you have a new parking spot, don't you?
I have a bigger parking spot for sure.
Yeah, you can fling that door open as hard as you want now.
I so can. Okay. Factor meals. I want to start, by the way.
Okay.
I know this is your special code and all that, Sam, but we had our last, well, we got some Factor meals, and Murphy ate the last one yesterday before Mr. Roland showed up, and he was eating, and he was so hungry and enjoying it so much. I think it was garlic chicken. He was standing up in the kitchen eating, and I'm like, would you like to sit down? Yeah. I'm sitting down for lunch.
This is too good to enjoy sitting, Jody.
I mean, it's so quick and so delicious.
It was quick. That was the deal. He got to eat a gourmet meal right before doing all of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed what you said there, but trying it for myself, Sam, and the way you explained, there's something about it not being frozen that makes a difference. That pork chop with the mustard sauce, man, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
And the chicken that I had, that was delicious,
too. That chicken is so juicy do at the Factor. And you can, if you're on the special diet plans, like a keto plan or Calorie Smart or vegan, they even have vegan meals available as well. Right now, you can save 50% by using our code MSJ50 at factormeals.com. Factormeals.com, MSJ50, that gets you 50% off your first box, 20% off your second box. So that's MSJ50 at factormeals.com. And you can sit down to eat these.
Thank you, Factor, for sponsoring the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.